Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. And with us today, we have Kelly from Pennsylvania. Kelly, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I don't even remember how we got in touch. I probably saw you on Instagram and liked the comment that you had or something and reached out to you. So go ahead and just, I have no idea about your homeschooling journey. Go ahead and let us all in on it.
Yeah. So that's such an open-ended question. This is our sixth year of homeschooling, which is crazy to even say. I can remember when we first started and people would say 6 years in and you're like, oh my gosh, they're geniuses, you know, and now it's like, oh, we are far from that, you know. And so we kind of got introduced to the idea. We were out west on a trip and we saw this school, and I think this was when we just had our daughter, and so she wasn't even old enough to start. But we had heard about a school out west that was all outdoors, and it was like, oh, it's kind of a cool concept, but we're in Pennsylvania, and so it feels a little harsh, you know, during winter.
It's cold for a lot of the year, yeah.
And it is seed, and we were like, all right, we have years to think about it. And then my daughter went to public school for kindergarten, and I honestly didn't even know until I signed her up that it wasn't a half-day program. Like, I just assumed, you know, that's how we were all raised, and it,
yes.
And it
felt.
And then it's like, oh my gosh, she goes 8 to 4, I think it was, or 8 to 3:30 till she got off the bus. And I was just completely overwhelmed. And she would be crying to go to school. And then, you know, she didn't, when her teacher was great, it wasn't like we had a problem, but it just felt, it didn't feel right. Like I was an attorney prior to having kids. And then we started our own company and all these things. And so I was home and I'm sending her and she's crying and I'm sad. It's like, this just doesn't feel right. So we brought her home in first grade and I didn't really know any other homeschoolers at the time, to be honest. I knew some out west that like were in our company, but we didn't really know them. And so I was just, and my cousin does in California, but I don't, we don't talk that much about it. And I kind of thought she was crazy, to be honest. She has six kids. And I was like, I could never. And then here we were. And I was like, you know, I feel like I can handle first grade. So I went on and researched. We did The Good and the Beautiful that year. But I didn't even, I mean, I was so new to the idea of it that I didn't, it wasn't even like I was taking her age into account. It wasn't like, oh, she's six and I should do this. It was like, I got the math curriculum and there were this many lessons. And so I planned them out over the days. And I like apologize to her still. I'm like, it was so intense for a 6 year old because I didn't know any better. I didn't have community here at that time. And I didn't have anyone to bounce ideas off. And just even the books we were reading, like I look back now, even at my 8 year old and what he's doing. And I'm like, why? I'm sorry. Like, maybe you don't remember that year, you know? But now, after that, we joined a classical conversations near us. And that's been really, really good for us. Community-wise, it's a lot of the people we go to church with. And we've actually opened 2 more campuses here in our little small town. So yeah, we've done that for the past 5 years.
Oh, that's awesome. So you have the 2 kids?
I have 3. So my oldest daughter is 12. She just turned 12. And then I have a 10-year-old boy and an 8-year-old boy.
Okay. And so yeah, you just jumped in full-fledged because it didn't feel right. Like sending this tiny little 5-year-old away all day, which I agree with you 100%. It was kindergarten was a half day when I went to school.
Yes.
And it just seems like now they've added, now there's not only full day kindergarten, but there's also full day preschool. Like my son was actually weird because he was part of a 3- and 4-year-old preschool that met 3 times a week for 2.5 hours. And he was the 4-year-old in it. So he was of the older group. And all the 3-year-olds actually start out there, then go to a full day for 4-year-old at the regular public school. They call it like universal daycare, universal preschool or something like that. But
yes.
So it like swooped our kids up for a full day in kindergarten. And then now it's swooping them up for the full day in preschool too.
So true. Because you know, and looking back, it's like, these are your most prized possession. You should have been researching it. But even my oldest, poor thing, when I sent her to preschool, it was because like it was August and I started seeing, I hadn't even thought of it at that age at 3. And I saw all these people like, oh, so-and-so is getting ready for preschool. And I'm like, oh, like I, maybe I should be, you know, it's like this weird peer pressure thing until you actually dig in, like, I can do this and this is fine. But it was like, I should be sending her. So I did. And it was the same idea. Like once they got to be four and a half, it was like, you need to be prepping them. You know, this was the, not the standard, but the idea from the teachers, like you need to prep them for kindergarten. So we have these 3-day programs that are half, but there's also enrichment and that should be 5 days. And then you can keep them in the afternoon if you want to get them used to sitting. And it's like, even that was like, I never did that. I was like, that kindergarten will come in its own time. And that's when I still thought it was half day. And it was like, they don't need to prep. They don't, you know, kindergarten was like, I thought it was like when I went, you know, like tying shoes and, you know, story times and all that. But we were shocked when it was, I mean, like I said, we loved her teacher. It wasn't a bad experience. It just was not at all what we were expecting.
And you would think that getting a hold of our kids sooner and for a longer period of time, we would have these geniuses that emerge as 18 or 22 year olds. And they're just like splitting the atom, you know, curing cancer right and left. And yet kids statistically are less intelligent or know less information when they graduate, whether it's, you know, high school or college than they did years ago.
Right. It's so, true.
What are they doing with them all day long?
It's exactly true. It's exactly true because you realize that when you bring them home and you can get done in this little amount of time what you need to get done and then they have all this time to play, it's like, what are they doing? But the sheer quantity of children in the classroom, not only are they not getting done what they need to, they're not getting any one-on-one time with the teachers. They're not getting, you know, morals and values and what we want to teach them from home aside, they're not even getting one-on-one academic attention very much, you know? And so was like, okay, we're sending them away for what? You know, it was kind of like, started as like, why are we sending them? And then, you know, it's come now to like, at what cost are we sending them? You know, like why, not just like, why would we send them? It's like, this is, you know, you're like, I can remember when I was growing up, even back, you know, I was born in 81 and I was raised Christian. And I can remember my dad, like sitting us down, even at that time and kind of what happened in school and like, what is truth and how should we have handled this biblically and what should we do? And just, you know, I thought I was so annoyed about it at the time, but I'm like, he was kind of ahead of his time in that aspect because it's like that is the most important thing that we want to be teaching them. And that, you know, not only are they not being taught that, you know, it's completely going the other way now. And so I joke about that. We have different moms nights for our co-op and I joke about that, like, not really, but like my kids might be dumb, but they'll know the Lord, you know? And so it's like, what are you giving up by sending them away that much of the day? And then, you know, if they're in sports or anything else, you're just not having that time at all.
You never see them. Right. And I do think that there's a design behind that, like scurry them out of the door. And make sure that you're so busy with sports and different things in the evenings and on the weekends that you don't have that time to sit there and talk about your family values or even evaluate what is your kid learning? Like, where do they need extra help? Where don't they? Where are they falling behind? Where are they insecure? Where are they maybe feeling less than that you should, you know, be doing something about? I think it's by design. I mean, it's too coincidental that it all just happened to work out that way. You know, you can look into the Rockefellers and why they got their hand in the education system and what they wanted as a workforce for their endeavors.
And I think they intentionally create this gap between parents and children that not only do parents have no idea what's going on in their child's educational life, social life, any of it, but we've gone the full other way that parents feel ill-equipped to even discuss these things with their children because we don't know what they're talking about. We don't know what they're learning. We don't know what they're going through. It's like they're just completely separate.
Yeah. And I was at a play recently that my friend's daughter was in. And the play, I think it was on Broadway, something about Percy Jackson. I should have researched that ahead of time. But the whole play is about our parents are so dumb. Our parents don't understand. Wow. The parents, you know, don't see the big picture. The parents are evil. And I'm sitting there going, oh my word. Right. and this is something the kids are actually putting on. And it's not the only place I've seen that message either, you know.
Right.
And you think going to the theater is going to be like you know, something good for you.
Right.
So I want to go back to a couple of things that you had said. Now, you do classical conversations. I haven't really had anyone on that delved into what that is. Can you explain that for us?
Sure. So, by nature, you know, that, and just to share a little bit of the backstory, it's really funny. I had known someone who did classical conversations, out West, but I wasn't really friends with them. Like I said, and I only knew, so kind of how it works is there's three different stages of learning. And so it kind of is ideally catering to how children learn at that stage. So they spend their first, up till sixth grade, really, it's kind of like they liken it to computer like data entry. So you're getting all the facts, you're putting all the pegs in, and you're repeating that in cycles by every 3 years. So there's three different cycles. So they're doing that up until sixth grade. When they start fourth grade, they start to add in like essentials of the English language and a lot of writing and that kind of thing. And then it's kind of like, you know, if you're sticking with the computer analogy, you're putting all this data in for all these years. And so they know that so that when they go then to kind of make those connections, they already are aware of the facts behind all the history and all of the, so that there's U.S. history, ancient history, and medieval history are the three different cycles. So they learn those for all those years. And then they start to kind of put the links together and how that works. And then, so the end goal is then, you know, analytical thinking around all of that, kind of the concept of learning how to think instead of what to think. And so it's really, in the older years, a lot of just asking really good questions, and it's student-led discussions and debates and really wrestling heavy topics and apologetics, a lot of that stuff, and mock trial and different things like that. And so my kids are just, my oldest will start, we call it challenge years, their seventh grade year next year, where she really, you know, they start really digging in on some of these topics that I, you know, you can only see things from your own perspective. And I remember I was an attorney before all of this. And when I was in law school, I was an intern for our PA attorney general in the criminal division. And so they did death penalty things. And I remember the first day they pulled us in and it was like, what's your stance on the death penalty? Like, we deal with that here, you know? And I just remember this heavy, like, you know, from my value standpoint, but also like when you're actually faced with making that choice and fighting for that and all the, just everything, all the weight that came behind it. But our high schoolers are dealing with that and debating that out on both sides. And I remember saying to these directors, like, how can they even process that at this age? I could barely process it as a late 20s, but it's because they've wrestled, they've learned all the history, they've read all the books, they're doing all the prep work. So that when they come in debate, they have both sides of it. They can think critically on either side and fight both sides. And so it's less emotional for them because they are able to think through that kind of stuff, which is really neat to see down that road. But it's been neat to kind of, we have a full campus, so we get to see all the way up through our seniors. And I remember the first day I went, like, if you can guarantee my kids will turn out like this, I take my money, you know, like we're ready to go. Because I just had never experienced that, not only my own experience, but with other children, public school, that were able to really just communicate and articulate and think through things at the level that these children were thinking through things and able to question in a way that was non-offensive, you know, like speak on truth and know the truth and what they believe is truth and be okay arguing that without it turning into a fist fight, you know? And it was like, this is amazing that they can be guided up in this way. And I was just really attracted to that model.
Yeah, most adults can't do that. So, right. No, what does
master your emotions around how you speak and be articulate and know why you are ahead of 90% of adults in America.
Yes. Now, what does like a week in the life look like for you guys? Because it sounds like the classical conversations is more, it doesn't really touch on the math or like science stuff. So when you go to this campus, what do they teach there? How many times a week? Is it parent-led? You pay teachers?
Sure. So we go once a week. Ours meets on Tuesdays, and they will teach all the things. It doesn't currently include math. You do your own math curriculum. Starting next year, they've developed a math curriculum. My understanding is that it's going to go the same kind of route, like learning a lot of math facts and then moving into how to analyze them together and onto proofs and things like that. But that's yet to be seen. But so we go Tuesdays. They teach, it's just by week. So it's 24 weeks. So that you, the tutors, I actually direct sixth grade and under. So I hire mom tutors or dad tutors that come in and they have classes of eight and they teach through like the history, the geography, math facts, different things that you, it's like memory work that they'll learn for that year. So that's sixth grade and under. And then they, we learn that for that week. And then you add in your own math and language arts up until they're in fourth grade. Now the older ones, they are prepping like a week in advance. So they have, they, I think they read like, even in seventh grade, like 25 books a year. And so they're doing a lot more on the front end because they're obviously held to a higher standard of going in and communicating what they've learned and that kind of thing. You know, at the younger years, it's a lot of memory, a lot of memory in the younger ages. But
so you just meet the once a week. So you kind of have that work to do on your own through the your own homeschooling at home. Right. But it's the curriculum that, you know, they'll be going there and talking it out with a parent slash teacher and their classmates. That's right. Kind of cool. Is that an organization that has stuff set up throughout the U.S. or is that something you guys started, you personally?
No, it's actually worldwide. There's, it's in a bunch of different countries and there's a lot of campuses in the United States, but they have a whole curriculum that they developed and they have a ton of resources and stuff online. And so it's kind of like a well-oiled machine. We go in and, and what I've loved about it is I desperately, that's the one tip I tell moms now. And they say, you know, I think I'm going to make this plunge. What's your number one thing? It's like, find a community around you, because that first year, I just, it's all I was looking for, but I could only find like 3 and 4 year old moms groups or different things like that. And for me, having someone, you know, they always say, if you're going to go through a minefield, follow someone who's been through it. Like for me, having those moms that are one step, two step, three steps ahead has just been so, it's taken such a burden off my shoulders. Like I don't have to worry about that yet. Cause you know, you always get the question. Like I remember when I told my mom we were going to start homeschooling, she's like, well, how are you going to teach them trigonometry? like that's the most random question. I said, I'm not. I'm going to teach them addition this year, and then I'm going to move into subtraction, and then I'm going to move into multiplication. And by the time we get there, we'll all be learning it together anyhow, you know? So it's this neat array of students, but also this neat array of moms who have run the gamut. So there's so many big families in there, and some of them have graduated kids, and some of them are just starting. And it's just this beautiful mesh of like, okay, like she was a mess too when she was at our stage, but like look at the beautiful, like the persistence and the consistency and just keeping showing up and trusting the process that this is, if this is where the Lord led us, then he will provide here. And like just seeing the moms that have stayed faithful and done that and seeing the fruit of that labor has really been, it's just a beautiful thing to be able to guide moms. Like go to, if you are worried at all, go to these moms, you know, they'll sit down and just share their journey. And it's just so, it's been really encouraging in that aspect too.
Yeah. And that's why I started the podcast too, was it was like, I was interviewing, quote unquote, interviewing, asking people so many questions when the year that my son was in the preschool and thinking, can I really do this? Like for kindergarten and beyond. And it was like, well, like what even exists out there? It's like this whole world that nobody really talks about unless you're in it. And right. So I was, you know, asking this mom with, you know, 9 kids that's been homeschooling the whole time. And, you know, this family that, you know, isn't really religious at all, but they're homeschooling. And, oh, well, what are your reasons? And, you know, it's like everybody just had such good information to contribute that it was like, well, why don't I just ask everybody that I can find and put it in a podcast? You know, it's, and it really is, there's, I've seen so many different ways for homeschooling to be done, and I still don't know the best way to do it for my kids, but it's like, that's going to change because
so true.
you'll never know all the curriculum that exists. You'll never know the best way to do anything. You'll never know if public school or private school or homeschool was better. The only thing you know is that you love your kid and you're making the best decision for them at the time with the information that you have, right? And right. A girlfriend said this to me the other day. She was like, if you were a billionaire, your kids wouldn't be going to public school. You know, they've got other elaborate schools set up for that if they even go to a school, you know, or they have tutors come in. So not everybody gets this experience of public school that we think that we're robbing our kids of, you know, right. when we are debating, do we keep them home to homeschool or not? And even when you think of other countries, like, you know, I don't even, I'm so ignorant because I have a public school education. I don't want to throw out like Somalia, right. but they're not in Somalia. Right. I'm willing to bet they're not having like the Friday Night Lights football game experience and the proms. And because really that's what we look back and think of when yes. we think of our high school experience. And was it really right. that great? Probably not. It was the looking forward to it. I think that really right. gets us. But you can still have those types of experiences, you know, all different ways when you homeschool, whether it's with a homeschooling community yep. or not, or with the school. You can be a prom date. You know, you can right. still go to the football game. It's not like they make you have a school ID to go to the game. So right. yeah, you just have to let go of that fear.
Right. And the things you like psych yourself out about. So we were in kindergarten, you know, we were and it's funny how you get those confirmations as you go. You know, like when she was leaving kindergarten, it was like, well, what if she doesn't have Valentine's parties? You know, it's like yeah. in the whole scheme of like why we're bringing her home. That was so naive, like who cares, you know, we made boxes here and we all like had fun with it and made can, you know, it's like you make up for those areas. But you know, and even the like go-to questions that everyone asks, like what about socialization or what about this, like I can remember when we went to the co-op for the first time and you know, I had heard a lot of talk about like cross age interactions and you know, and the whole thing about in public school how they're only really around their age anyhow. And I thought, you know, this is interesting. I was looking forward to seeing that. But just even in that day, and it's just expanded since then, but your own expectations that you kind of project on your kids, like my boys were like, can we go play basketball? And it was all these like 15-year-old kids. And I'm like, I mean, you can ask, but like, if they say no, just accept no. Well, I mean, they joined right in and they played with them. And, you know, my mom heart's like, okay. And then my daughter, you know, she was sitting with just kids from two up to probably 14 or 15. And because I like never researched and like I researched everything, but like the little stuff, like whether to pack a lunch on an open house day, things like that. You know, I'm too busy down these other rabbit holes to see that we forgot lunch and I didn't pack. Well, these girls like circled up and put their lunches in the middle and all shared with my daughter. And I'm like sobbing at the table. Like, this is exactly what I want for my children, you know? And it just, when you get these confirmations and it makes sense and the reasons you start homeschooling or the reasons that you might psych yourself out, like you said, oh, that maybe they're going to miss X, you name it, prom or whatever. You can recreate those.
Do you suffer from anxiety like I do? I'm pretty sure we all do at this point. Have you seen the news lately? I've been looking for healthy ways to deal with my anxiousness and found just the thing. I was searching for a company that I could work with that made clean organic products for things that I would buy normally at Walmart or the local grocery store. I don't want to support these big corporations anymore. So I went on a search to find a company that could provide me with products that I feel confident giving my family, are made in the USA, and that I would buy anyways. Earthly Wellness is that company. I've been using their anxiety relief for nervousness and anxious feelings, which is made up of St. John's wort, ashwagandha root, chamomile flowers, catnip leaf, ooh, that sounds fun, and lavender buds. For $12, you get equal to 600 drops, and I really feel like it's helped my body to calm down and improve my mood without all the unwanted side effects of prescription drugs. Their anxiety relief naturally supports hormones like cortisol while reducing feelings of stress and anxiety, and I've definitely noticed a difference. Earthly Wellness has a long list of items that I would recommend to you guys, but I do like to test out the products before I do that. I'm currently waiting for their mineral deodorant, their laundry detergent, Cough Be Gone for lung health and coughs, their green powder, which is a supplement that combines traditional greens with green tea and nutrient-rich herbs for energy and wellness. It's full of vitamins and minerals, and these come in capsule or powder form. I'm also waiting on their Goodnight Lotion, which is a magnesium lotion. My son has the worst foot cramps at night. He's been suffering with this for years, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how well this works for him. And Earthly Wellness also has a whole line of homeschooling products. You've got to check out their website and see all the amazing products that are available and at really good prices. And I'd like to give you 10% off of your first order. Grab the link from my show's description Or at thehomeschoolhowto.com under listener discounts, you can click on Earthly Wellness. This lets them know that I sent you. And if you want 10% off of your first order, use customer code homeschoolhowto, all one word. Again, you can get the link in my show's description and use homeschoolhowto at the checkout, or head on over to my website, thehomeschoolhowto.com, and under listener discounts, find the Earthly Wellness link and use code homeschoolhowto at checkout.
I mean, there's so many. When I hear homeschoolers that did it back when like we were kids, I'm like, I mean, like, you know, props to you, because they didn't have all the resources. Now it's like,
yeah,
if you don't feel like you can teach a class, you can get them in a class online or get them in a class wherever. You know, it's like there's so many options. You just can build your own. You can build your own life with it. You can build your own schooling, which I love about that now.
Yes. And that's kind of why I wanted the podcast too, was like, okay, let's web all these things together. Like, you could do this route, you could do that route, right. You know, you can choose from these curriculums, or you can just unschool and you're okay either way. But it is so hard to navigate, because I can understand it being just so overwhelming. Like, well, there is so much. It was almost easier when, well, you had the good and the beautiful, or I don't know. I forget the other one. What they had back in like the, you know, early 2000s.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about, you said that you were a lawyer. And for me, this has been one of the bigger obstacles, is actually leaving my job. And I know you said that you left prior to deciding to homeschool, but how did that process go? Like, do you work at all now? Or like, how did it feel knowing that you invested this much time and money into an education and, you know, a career, to then that you were just going to go leave? How did you go through that process?
Right. So we, when I graduated, I was single and not married when I went to law school. So I had these big, like, I'm going to work in corporate field and I don't care about long hours. Like, I had no perspective on that at all. And so I almost went into the Air Force to be an officer. Like, that was kind of where my brain was like, why not? You know, you can come out with all these benefits. Well, then I met my husband at the time and, you know, everything changes. I wanted babies right away and kids. And so I worked for a little bit as an attorney, and then kind of simultaneously, we were looking into different businesses to start. We had tried an electrical company, and then the business we're with now, the keto business, kind of simultaneously took off during that time. So he ended up leaving his job. Well, I think I left my job first and started working from home from a company that I had worked for prior to law school. I took 2 years off and was just, I didn't realize how competitive it was to get legal jobs. And so I'm reaching out to all these firms and not hearing back, not realizing like I had no law school experience even. But I ended up getting a job with like an underwriting company for homeowners insurance. And so I went back there and I was able to work from home. And then we had the baby and I was able to stay home with her. And it was like, oh, like once you get that glimpse into like being home with your kid, it's like, I can never go back. Like I don't ever want to leave her. I want to teach her everything. I want to be here for all the moments. And so I did do some work like drafting wills and estates and things from home, contracts. But as they got older, you know, it's just not as feasible as when they're napping all those times a day. And so it was kind of like, you know, we were either going to go all in with the other things. And my husband at the time started his own electrical business. So we had a lot going on, but it still is daunting. I mean, my law school loans aren't paid off, but it's kind of like, you know, I do have faith that God will provide. And I have faith that, you know, he's working all things out, and that I feel so sure in this decision to stay home and homeschool them, that it's kind of just giving that daily, like, okay, that's there. But so are all these other opportunities, you know, and we have the opportunity to stay home for these, what are like fleeting, this 18 year, you know, even 12 years, it feels fleeting. And it's like, how is she in sixth grade already? How are they this big? And so, you know, when I look at that and how fast it's going, it's like, I can go back if I want to when they graduate, I can do that. But for now, you know, God is providing these opportunities to stay home. Like, I'm also, we have that business. And then I don't know if you've heard of Barton. I can't think of her first name, but it's a program, reading program for children with dyslexia. So I was able to start to house doing that, and directing the co-op, of course. And so it's like, you know, there's not been necessarily a time where it was like, oh no, I don't have any income. It's just like these opportunities when you're just surrendered and open to like, where is this path going to lead us? You know, if you would have told me when Hayden was born that I would be doing all this, I'd say you're crazy. But you just, it's like you know, the more you learn, the more people you talk to, the more you're solidified in why you're doing it, you make a way, you know, really. And so it's like, could that stress me out? Sure. But it's not all the other, I mean, it's more stressful, like you said, to me, to send them to public school and have someone else raising my children than any of those other stressors are at all.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think a lot of it has to do, and I've talked about this before, is society making us think, like you were saying, oh, I don't care how many hours I work in a day. I can do the long hours. I can do all this. I can be in the Air Force. And I was the same way, even though I went into government work, which wasn't quite as ambitious, but they dangle the pension over you and you're like, okay, well, when I get to be 55, I'm going to have this much money. And okay, well, maybe if I go part-time for my maternity leave for 6 months, well, maybe I'll have to be 56 when I get my pension now, but I can still get that good pension. And it's like, think about what you're thinking about right there. What are you going to do at 56? Like, your kids are gone. Yes, you can do a lot at 56, but what can you do with your children at 56?
Right.
And I had, I believe it was Rosemary Larrabee on my podcast, and she said, women, moms can have it all. They just can't have it all at the same time. Right. And yes, maybe that means you're not going to get that full pension, but if you have faith or ambition, you know, something else will be provided for you. You know, you're the one that determines how much money you get. And then God forbid you, you know, don't live that long or whatnot, you know, something else happens. You're here in the now, or that, you know, the dollar collapses and we don't even have pensions. I mean, it's not like that hasn't happened before where, oh, the pension money is gone. Sorry. You know, so I think we're just so programmed to think that we have to be busy all the time and we have to be this career-driven, you know, force. And we really have to take a step back and think about why that is. And then when I learned about like the women's movement of the 60s, that really kind of got me like, what? Now I'm angry that I felt like I had to go this way, because like, was our government behind the women's movement? Let's get a bigger tax base instead of 50% right. of the, you know, income that we could be getting in taxes. Yeah. Let's double that and send the moms in, and then we'll take tax money and start them, their kids in school even younger. Like, I mean, right. There are daycares that, depending on your income, are paid for by, you know, our tax dollars. So, you know, they're taking the kids at 6 weeks old in some cases, and it just blows your mind. Right. Like when you really start thinking about it, you're like, this is why they're trying to keep us so busy so we don't come to these conclusions.
Right. So you don't start to put all the pieces together and like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Right. It's so true. It's so true. And it's almost like makes you sick to your stomach when you look back and you see the pattern of it and what happened and like a whole, how many generations now that were away from their parents, you know, it's like, but they, like, I look at my parents and I think, like, I wonder if they ever, like, I don't think they did, but if they ever, it ever crossed their mind that, like, there was something, like you're talking about, like, that this is how it's planned, an agenda, and that the government is doing this on purpose. And, you know, my mom worked, she passed away in 2020. She was only 69. She had a heart attack. And she worked up till the day that I started having kids in 2011. And so, you know, 9 years, but she worked and worked and worked and worked, and then finally stopped working when I had grandkids. But it's like, it's almost like that's what you're waiting for, because you don't have time. You know, you're programmed to think you can't take that time off for your own kids. And so then you're just like, okay, well, I'll just wait till I have grandkids. But that's assuming that your kids come back and that you're around that you're close to them, and they even have your same values at that point, because you haven't been around them for 18 years. And so, like you said, it's just this separation of family, separation of homes, taxation. It's like all the things. And, you know, I love now that there's so many more people that are opening their eyes to it, because even now, when you talk about it, you're like, I might sound crazy, but like, it's true. Like, look at what happened. Look at the patterns. Like, do your own research. It's there. I didn't make this stuff up on my own, you know? And so it's nice now get around like-minded people and they can put two and two together and you can have these conversations and go in depth about it. But, you know, to anyone else, it's like, oh, that's not true. And you're like, oh, your heart is like, your babies need you.
Yes. And for my son, who's now 5, I mean, I did keep my job with the government and he went into daycare and he, you know, he did that. I think maybe started out at 3 days a week in daycare. And then I was like, oh, man, this money's nice. Let's bump it up to 4 days a week in daycare. And I was dropping him off at 7 a.m. and picking him up at 5 p.m. And it's like now that I never have left my daughter's side other than right now because I'm recording this podcast. But she's in my in-laws, you know, she's with family. But like, yeah. I'm mad at myself, but also I'm like, not many parents have this perspective because usually you're either the stay-at-home mom for all the kids or you're the working parent for all the kids. And the things that I've seen that I missed with my son, and I do feel a disconnect with him sometimes that I don't even know that I would know that there's a disconnect, but I see how connected I am with my daughter. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I gave up on breastfeeding with him after 3 weeks. And it was just like 6 months in, okay, go to daycare. And I don't know. I'm just, and the learning how to walk, like I probably missed his first steps. That was probably at daycare. And it's like just all these little moments, like my daughter just running up to me and giving me the biggest hug. Now she's 1.5 years. And it's like, oh, that's such a nice feeling. I'm so lucky I get to feel that hug about 50 times a day. Right. And like what that does for you. And yes, there are really hard times in the day. Like I'm a very anxious person and my son will stress me out because he's so high energy and he's just running around the house like a little, like, I don't know, a little ball off the walls and stuff. But like, I don't know, I love that I'm there for all of it. And no matter how hard or how stressful it is, or even if I yell at him, you know, I do have to forgive myself later and like say, all right, you know what? Yeah, he was yelled at. At least he was yelled at by his mom. Sure. I love him. You know, he wasn't yelled at by some lady that got, you know, is waiting for her tenure and, you know, right. is only there because she has to pay off her loans.
Right.
You know,
I can't.
Yeah. So it's, I feel like I missed out on so much. So
yeah, it's so true because I think that too. I think we all have that mom guilt. It's like, I know people, you know, people ask a lot now, like how do you homeschool? I'm thinking about this and like, what is every day like? And I think they expect you to say like all days are perfect and there's no yelling and everyone gets all their school done and we always finish math curriculum and you know, whatever it is, but it's not. It, you know, the truth of the matter is it's hard because you are the teacher and you are the mom and you are the nurturer and you are all the things, but you know, there is yelling. And but I love that all those opportunities to help them through those emotions are coming from us as the mom. Like we, okay, there's opportunity for me to apologize and ask for forgiveness. There's opportunity for them to get angry. And then like, okay, what do we do with that anger? And so it's like, you're always this, you know, learning, not just academically, but you're always there as, like you said, I'm the one that loves them the most. You know, I have their interest. I have their most interest at heart. And so, you know, not all days are good. In fact, a lot of days there's craziness going on. I'm like you, I'm like, I get overstimulated easily and it's like, everybody sit down. But you know, like you said, at the end of the day, I think you have to just really, I love that you said, you know, you take in those moments, like not taking for granted that she comes and runs and hugs you and not taking for granted that, you know, they want to, my middle son, I always joke about him. It's like every math problem, there's got to be a story in between. And sometimes I'm like, okay, we have to get to this answer. But like, you know, I sat back the other day, like, I'm thankful that I'm the one he's sitting here telling these stories to, and we won't forget this. And, you know, it's like making sure that you're aware in those moments and staying in gratitude through all of it. But it's, you wouldn't want them to experience that with anyone else, you know?
Yeah. And that's so true. And I have to tell myself that too, when he tries to interrupt, because in my mind, I'm like, he's interrupting because he just wants to like divert the attention away from the work that we're trying to do. So I'm getting like angry inside, but yeah, they're out of those moments do come beautiful things half the time. Yeah. So right. Maybe allow them and steer them back in when you have to. And it was, yeah, just to prove that it is chaos and nobody really knows what they're doing. I mean, my son today, I asked him with his phonics work. I said, okay, the two sound or the sound that we have is ig. I need you to give me a word that rhymes with ig. And his word was frig. I was like, oh, man. All right. Well, I said, this is a good opportunity to tell you that that's not really a nice word. And that's not a word that we say around. And it's a word maybe mommy shouldn't say. But you know, they're all good learning opportunities. Oh, it's so true.
It's so true. So, and I love when you hear your kids having those conversations. You know, you don't necessarily, like for me, if we're around people that are doing life with us, you know, these conversations that they hear us talk about all the time about, you name it, you know, the gamut of what we talked about today. But when they get around other people that aren't along the same line of thinking, or that maybe do go to public school, or maybe you name it, whatever it is, and hearing them kind of try to like parse out these ideas and unpack it, it's like, you know, it's almost like little kid apologetic. Like they're trying to like, they don't have the full skill set yet because they're young, but I'm like, oh, this is cool. And you want to hop in, but you're also like, oh, I wonder how they're going to like defend that idea. Cause like they haven't had to, you know, it's like, I agree with them, or we're like, right, we do believe this, but also this, it's always a safe place, not where they're like, well, that's dumb, you know, and they're like, my mom says it's not dumb, you know, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
I get it. No, but it's like, I love those conversations too, because it's just always opportunities for growth for them, you know?
Well, and yeah, it leads me to remember when I was saying previously how in public school today, you could go, your child could go in and say, I believe in God, and they would get like made fun of, or probably hush hush from the teacher. We keep those thoughts to ourselves, but they could go in and say, I believe I'm a cat, and they would be like applauded and the cool kid, you know, maybe that is a stretch, but I don't know. I have nieces and nephews in public school, and whether they're just getting me riled up or what, they say that is happening.
Yes. Even in we live in a super small town, and I think it's easy to believe that this stuff happens in the big cities, but our little, I think I graduated with 100. That is tiny. And those things are happening here. The litter boxes in the rooms, and even the books in the libraries. I mean, you know, and they're defending
the books.
Yes. It's like, it's brought to their attention. And so, you know, someone came to me and said, hey, you know, this book on your bookshelf has this. You'd be like, oh my gosh, no, I didn't. Let's evaluate that together. But even being confronted with it, They're defending it, which is so wild, you know, and if you come up against it, then parents here are faced with this, you know, they don't necessarily know that they want to homeschool, but they know that they've gone to the school, they've expressed their concerns, and it's falling on deaf ears. And so it's like, what are the other options? Like, they just, you know, it's just come so full circle from when I was growing up, and probably you, but you know, you, public school is just
I'm about the same age. I was born in 84, so
nobody homeschooled. That was like the weird kids. Yes. And I remember my dad's out in Vegas and, you know, doesn't have kids, and he's like, I was worried your kids were gonna be these quiet weird, and you're like, that is not even what homeschooling is anymore, you know. Like, we have, even in this little town, we've got a huge community of homeschoolers.
Last night, we were reading The Miraculous Pencil, the second book in the Tuttle Twins series for ages 5 through 11. My son, even though he's only 4, was able to pick up on the concept that every product we have has been created by so many moving parts. Even a pencil, like The Miraculous Pencil, takes thousands of people to make, from the wood on the tree, to the fuel that runs the equipment, to cut down the trees, to the ropes that secure the logs to the truck, the graphite from South Korea that's used for the lead, the yellow lacquer from the castor oil grown in India, and all the hands involved in between. The book focuses on the idea that with capitalism, we must keep the costs low and the quality good so that it sells and everyone can make money. Thinking about this greater concept of how things are made not only gives more appreciation to the items that we have, but it brings up conversation on what kinds of jobs are out there in the world and what new ones are waiting for our little learners to create. I love these books. We read them all the time. If you're interested in purchasing books from the Tuttle Twins, check out my link and use my code for 40% off products on ages 5 through 11. TuttleTwins.com/REF/CHERYL and use coupon code Cheryl40, that's CHERYL40, for 40% off all products for kids ages 5 through 11. You can grab the link and the code from my show's description.
Like you said, they're all over. Some are faith-based, some are not. Some are half in school, half, but it's like people just realizing like, we don't have to live like this. This is, and there are other options and there is support and like, just start somewhere, you know, and figure it out.
Yeah. And when I realized that the schools were doing just like with the masking and now with the books that are, you know, pushing agendas in the library, they're getting funding for that. Like, you know, so that affects the money that they're getting. So right. If all the parents that disagreed with that, and listen, you don't have to be like, oh, you don't have to disagree with like what adults are with what adults, but we can all disagree that it's not age appropriate. I mean, you know, whatever you believe for adults to do behind closed doors or whatnot, we can all agree this is not age appropriate for what they're trying to push, you know, at just the basis there. So if all the parents that disagreed with that took their kids out, they would lose so much funding from us, because I would imagine that you need a certain amount of enrollment in order to keep collecting the tax dollars. I mean, I know that's what we pay here. Most of it, it's not even property. It's school taxes. It's like a good $8,000 a year where I am. And I'm like, oh my God, it's 2 miles away and I'm not sending them.
I know. We don't use all of it. I know. It's so true.
Dangling that carrot. Just like with the pension, they dangle that carrot. Hey, we got free daycare, you know, and
I've heard though that enrollment has gone down, which I was surprised, because, you know, you think in your head, like, even if they're getting funding, like, even if someone offered me funding to teach my children that, you wouldn't accept that at any cost. You know, you wouldn't even take $1 billion to like teach your children these things, because it doesn't make sense. And you think that that's the mindset of people, like they have their values and they have, even if they don't match mine, you know, if they have certain things that they stand on that you just wouldn't be persuaded on, but it's just not the truth. But I heard just the other day that our school is down in numbers, and I'm like, oh, come on, moms, keep it going, you know, like get them out. But you know, I would be anxious to see how that does affect funding and what they do if those numbers keep going down and how that shifts. But, you know, there's obviously
I'm willing to bet that the people that are signing up for them aren't reading the actual books, okay? Because they've had parents at the hearings or, you know, committee hearings reading some of the stuff in this book, which is very sexually graphic. And they make the parents stop reading because it's not appropriate to even be read in that atmosphere. So I guarantee they aren't actually reading it. They bring it out as in, well, hey, Billy has two moms and we want all the kids to treat him normally. You know, we don't want him bullied for that fact. And okay, I think everybody can get on board. Yeah, we don't want Billy bullied. So they're bringing it out as if that were the agenda behind it, but it goes much further when you actually look at the literature, if you can call it literature, which is pretty crazy. Now, go into what you do on Instagram. I've seen like stuff you have kind of an influence there. What are you working on and how can people find you if they wanted to reach out?
Yeah, so my Instagram name is Couch, my last name, C-O-U-C-H-K-N. And it's been kind of a journey for me on Instagram. I started it just when we started our keto business. It was like, okay, you know, let's cast this net as big as possible and see. But then we really just grew in person. Like, that's my heart, is to get to know people just at a deeper level and hear stories. Like, I'm like you, I love to hear people's stories and kind of how it got them to where they are and their thinking and all of that. And so we just grew that in person so much more because the connection was there. But then when I realized, like, I started to see other people on there, like, okay, they are making these deep connections. They're just very intentional about who they are interacting with on there, because, you know, you can go on there and just feel so flooded with all of it. You know, like, we don't watch the news. We do World Watch. It's like 10 minutes biblical view in the morning. We get our tidbits. And then if we want to research more about whatever, we can. But, you know, so when I used to go on there, it's like, is this really something I want to bring into my life? Like, it feels X, Y, Z. But then it kind of was like, okay, but I can change that. You know, I can go on and I can provide the content that I would want to see. And I can, you know, just all the things you go through. I think I was so naive until probably, really, I hate to say it, but like 2017, I can remember looking back and thinking like, man, like, we are really okay in life. Like, we had 3 kids and we hadn't had any really significant trauma and just things were good. I remember having that moment And then in 2017, we just had a series of things happen that really just rocked our world. And I think it gives you so much empathy towards other people and compassion. Like, my gosh, I was probably so unsympathetic to people just because I hadn't experienced what they had experienced. And so going, like, kind of trying to shift out my Instagram to, like, really being vulnerable about what I'm going through and what we do and the mess of it all and the emotions behind it all, but, like, also the positivity and the healing and the community. And just, I've really been in a process of, like, shifting out who I follow and who follows me. And it has just been this really uplifting experience, because when you intentionally seek out those people and you're putting good in and you're putting good out and, like, you're engaging with the people that are doing that too, it's really become just a neat, like, people just reach out and they're so open. Like, it's become exactly what I wanted it to. It feels like it's this in-person connection, but online, which is kind of hard to achieve, and I'm really thankful for it. You know, I don't think of it as having an influence necessarily, but I think that it's really become this beautiful way of, like, you know, someone else is one step ahead of me in an area, and I'm one step ahead of someone else in an area. And it's just kind of this sharing, like, you know, that you can be on level zero here and level three here and level 10 here, and at any level, you have so much to learn and you have so much to give. And so that's kind of been how I run my Instagram. And it's really been a neat shift in that area too.
Yeah. I give you credit, because it's hard. And I feel like, and I tried to take, like, a little course on how to, you know, set up, but I still don't know the difference between how to make a reel and a post and a story and why you do this one or why you do that one. And, you know, like, I make one and then I'm like, well, that did not come out. I had somebody on, like, a freelance app, and I was like, okay, yeah, can you just help me with this? And they literally told me, you just need to stop posting because you're not good at it.
That's great. Like, I was like, oh, go back to my first post. I'm like, they were so awful, but, like, I just kept doing so many that it, like, filtered the worse and worse and worse ones down. Yeah. So no one would see them. Like, as I learned something, it was like, oh man, those were really bad. Okay. Just, like, keep doing more until, you know, you get better. Maybe I'll do that as my thank you to you. We can do another, like, I'll teach you Instagram. All the things I did wrong the last, like, 5 years.
Well, and it's funny, because the course, like, I paid for this course, right? And it was, like, good information, but I'm like, I need it in the niche, though. That's like, I have a podcast and I just want to, like, put things about the podcast on there. And, like, I'll say funny things in my head every now and then. But the way that it comes out on it, that doesn't necessarily look all pretty and, you know, whatnot. Right. So I'm like, I need, like, a little, like, Instagram, like, tutor with me at all times to, like, oh, this is how we can do that. Or, like, even just little snippets from the show. I try to pull one or two, but when you got kids here all the time, and because my kids are little, you know, 1.5 and 5.5. So it's like, I need to just, like, wake up at 3 a.m, come out, do it, and go back to bed. But the little one still sleeps with me. So she's like, Mom, you're not here. Let me scream.
For our co-op, we started as directors of the different campuses, recording videos for our tutors that just streamline the process. My friend that came up with the idea, I'm like, this is genius. We need to do it. But how, like you said, when do you record that? A, you're showered and looking even decent for this video to be, you know, a couple decades for people to use. And also, like, that it's quiet and you can get these songs right. And so, you know, I pride myself on just being as vulnerable and messy as it comes. And, like, I didn't used to be that way, because, you know, you're on social media and you're like, oh, it should look this way or be this way. But just really in my life, and I love that, like, the feedback from that is, like, it makes it so relatable. Like, even in the co-op, like, I do some days I'm like, just why did they choose me? But, like, here we are 4 years in, and it's like that vulnerability. It's just, like, through these videos, you know, my hair's half up and it's sweaty and somebody walks in and you're like, I am sorry, but, like, the information is here. Just the delivery might be a little bit off, but it's fine, you know. And I started doing that on my Instagram too. I was having a conversation with a friend just about the little snippets, like you said, that you learn over the years, and you realize, like, so many people are looking for a way to, whatever, you name it, be more positive in their day, or even to start homeschooling, to make that jump. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go on, like, 3 minutes a day and share these little things that, like, I use every day. They're tools in my tool belt. Like, I'm mad at the kids. Here's what I do. I this. We have to get the days. You know, you name it. that like I didn't know 5 years ago. And if I would have heard mm-hmm. a mom on here, like, or your podcast or the moms on here, like, oh, that's genius. I've loved, like, when we knew we were going to do this, I started to listen to your podcast, and I just love the moms on there. I just love how they're all from all different walks of life, and every single mom is so different in how she does it, but it's like we're all learning as we go and have so much value to give to each other and to anyone thinking about it. And so I just love that you're doing this. I love the stories that are coming out of it.
Yeah. I wish I had to take the time to go back and re-listen to all of them too, because I was trying to take notes for everyone. And then even that got away from me because of all these things I want to remember. But I also keep thinking of if I could just take, like, you know, every month get a group of the moms that, or even dads. I've had a couple guys on, mm-hmm. and have like a little like Q&A or, you know, back and yeah. forth with each other. It would be cool because everybody's had such good, like, I don't know where they all come from. Like, it's like a divine intervention. God was just like, hey, this is, I'm going to put these people in front of you. They all have something to offer. And now we're on like episode 50 something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot yeah. them all. I've got to go back and listen.
Like a reunion podcast where everybody yeah, comes on.
Yes. Yeah. And someone can tell me how I can make money do it. So I'm like, okay, yeah, it's about that right. time I have to leave the government job, guys. Right. Here's my t-shirt. Right. Yeah, is there any last words or thoughts, things that you thought maybe you'd want to talk about that we didn't get to yet?
Nothing particular, just like, I just want to encourage whatever step people are to take the next step. Like, I talk to so many moms, even moms who have been homeschooling as long as I have, and even myself, you know, you're like, can I? Okay, I have a bad day and I'm in my head like at night, like, can I do seventh grade? Like, if I can't even do this, how am I going to get here? And you get in your own head. But it's even like people who are just wanting to start homeschooling, or they just want to, you name it, like, do it and you will find a way. Or, you know, like I just believe if you're called to do it, then the way will make itself. And it's just like you said with the podcast, like, people just show up, like, if it's divine intervention or whatever it is. But I found that the whole journey, like, so anything that I was scared about or worried about, the minute that it was like came to fruition and it would have been a challenge, the solution was also there presenting itself equally as strong. And so I just want to encourage other moms, like, whatever is on your heart to do, it is so worth it. Like, we're going to look back and we're going to cry about it all and think of all the things we probably did wrong. But in the process, you did so many things right. And so I think just celebrating that and just being encouraged to, like, take the first step and go ahead and do it.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, think about it in terms of on your deathbed, are you going to look back and say, oh man, I wish I never homeschooled them? Or are you going to look back and say, I'm so glad I took that leap and did it? And you can always send them back to school. Like, if they really hate it or it's really not working out, you can't make ends meet financially, you can always send them back. There's like a help wanted sign everywhere. So I was trying to tell myself that today too. Like, you can always get another job. You can always work. You're pretty competent. I've heard of places that are like, we will hire you as long as you have a pulse. So, you know, it's how much, how much are you really going to regret by just giving it a try? And yeah, and you don't even have to think, can I do seventh grade? If you're in the kindergarten or first grade area, just think, all right, can I do kindergarten? That's really all you have to think about, you know, and then take each year as that comes.
And reaching out to moms who are doing it. Like, I think that's so important to get. That's why I love this podcast. Like, it's important to get that perspective, because you can totally psych yourself out and not do any decision. But I have never talked to a single homeschool mom. Like, maybe they're course adjusting, or maybe they're sending one to public school and one to private school and half doing one and half doing the other. But you're not going to talk to a mom that regrets trying to do what's best for her child and, like, taking that leap. So, like, reaching out, all moms are willing to talk about it and to encourage you and to take that time out. And so I think that's great too.
So true. Kelly, thank you so much for being on today. Yeah. Was there anything about your keto business you want to talk about? Were you talking about like the way to eat keto?
No. So our keto business actually, so obviously now, you know, everyone's heard about the keto diet and that way of eating. In 2016, we helped launch a company that actually has drinkable ketones. And so the same, you know, you do the diet to get into ketosis. Now you can actually drink those ketones and you're in that same state in under an hour. And so since then we've helped tens of thousands of people start to do that, and just the benefits and the, you know, you can research it. Ketosis for whatever, mm-hmm. whatever goals you have, whatever things you have. And if the diet helps with that, the drink does the same exact thing. It's bioidentical. So,
and what is your business called?
The company is called Prove It. And my actual site is mama, M-O-M-M-A, couch.shopketo.com. So you can check that out there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm sure my husband will be interested. He's into all that stuff. He's like, hey, babe, you're starting to lift again now that it's the new year? I'm like, yes, I am. I just don't know what day we're starting yet. So
that's right. It's like so we say people used to, you know, swim to Cuba. Now they fly. This is the easy button to ketosis.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So that's it's so important though to keep you, because you got to be a role model to your kids too, even health wise and eating right, working out, all that stuff. Kelly, thank you so much for being on today. I love the conversation. I think it'll be a lot of fun for people to listen to.
Right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.